So if you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm really excited to be back in Hebrews. It's been a month. I looked it up. I couldn't believe it. It's been a month since we've been in our series in Hebrews. The last message was on Father's Day. We looked at the faith of Noah. And I'm excited to get back to this book because this great chapter on faith, it's challenging. It paints a picture for us of what a life of faith looks like. Since it's been a while, I want to just do a real quick review before we get into our text and our message this morning. In chapter 1 through chapter 10, verse 18, that big chunk of Hebrews that we covered, the theme of that section of Hebrews is our theology teaches Jesus is so much better. That's what we learn. Our theology teaches us that Jesus is so much better. So much about Jesus in those first 10 chapters that Jesus is worthy of our faith. He's worthy of our obedience, of our very lives. I mean, when you read those chapters and you learn about Jesus and who he is, I don't know how anyone can conclude he's not so much better. But as we come to chapter 10, verse 19, through the end of the book of Hebrews, where we are now, the theme of this section is our faith demonstrates Jesus is so much better. This is the practical section. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it talks about our response to all that we learned about Jesus being so much better. And whether we believe it or not, because if we truly believe Jesus is so much better, it's going to be demonstrated in our life by faith. We're going to live by faith. We're going to stand by faith. We're going to walk by faith if we really, really believe Jesus is so much better. The key verse in this section that we talked about a while ago, I think the message before Father's Day, is found in Hebrews 10:38, and I want you to look there just real quick. He said, now the just shall live by faith. This is where he introduces this topic of faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Before we get into the message as an introduction, I want to just ask this question. What does it mean to live by faith? Because it says the just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? Well, God, he points us to real life examples of faith in action in chapter 11. And we're going to look at these individually in different messages. Because each character that's listed in Hebrews 11, this is what's interesting. Each character highlights a different aspect of faith. And today we're going to look at the story of Abel. The faith of Abel. And Abel's story teaches us this. I want you to get this. This is the theme. This is the title. This is everything this morning. Faith listens to God. That's why Abel's story teaches us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because there's so many ways we can define faith, we can describe faith, we can demonstrate faith. But this morning we're going to look at this one aspect that Abel demonstrates for us that Jesus is so much better. And that is faith listens to God. Faith listens to God. Now, I have to define listen because some people they come to church and I could ask, are you listening to the message? Yes, I'm listening. But really, are you listening? Listen, in the definition, it means to obey, to yield to advice, to follow admonition. So there's more than just information going in our ears. Listening involves the heart. It involves obedience. It involves yielding to what we're hearing. And how many of you parents have asked your kids, are you listening? Why are you asking that? They're hearing you, but they're not listening. I wonder how many of us are hearing the message, but are you listening? Faith listens to God. Faith listens to God. And I want to just say this. Listening to the voice of God is a fundamental aspect of faith. It's a fundamental aspect. If you want to know something about faith, you need to learn something about listening to God. Because I'm telling you this morning, you cannot have faith in God without listening to God. It's absolutely impossible. I want to give you a verse. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want, but you should write it down. It's familiar. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says this. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to break that down because that verse supports everything I just told you. That faith listens to God. So then, Paul said. So then, what does that mean? He's making a conclusion about faith. He had been talking about it in chapter 10, but now he's going to make a conclusion. So then. It's almost like saying therefore, or in conclusion. Faith cometh by hearing. What that's saying is that faith is formed by hearing. By listening. Faith is formed. By hearing what? Hearing by the Word of God. So I want you to think about this for a minute. The Greek word that's used for word and Word of God, there's different words that are used. Logos is one. I think there's another, I can't remember. But in this particular verse, he uses rhema. And why do I point this out? I'm not trying to point out any kind of language abilities in the Greek or anything like that. But I'm doing it for your help to understand this verse. Rhema means an utterance, a saying. Rhema is something that is spoken or uttered by the voice. So I want you to think about what he's saying. Faith, it cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the utterance of God, the voice of God. An utterance is something that comes forth from a voice. So I want you to think about this because it can refer to the voice of God that's recorded in the Scripture. How many times do we read in the Scripture, thus said the Lord? I mean, God speaks in the Word. This is His Word, is it not? Amen. Now we understand when we're in a narrative, we might be in Job, for example, and Satan is talking. That's not God's words. That's Satan's words. We understand that. But in the Scripture, we have the Word of God. We have God speaking, and it's recorded. Thus said the Lord. And so it could be that the voice of God recorded in Scripture, hearing the voice of God recorded in Scripture, it forms our faith. It could be the voice of God speaking to us by His Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God speaks, and when the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. The Spirit of God speaks to us as we walk by faith. It could be the voice of God speaking to us through one of His messengers or one of His children. How many times has someone admonished you and you walked away knowing that that was God's voice speaking through them to you? So I want you to understand, when we look at that verse, "So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God," what do we conclude from this verse? That our faith is formed and it's fed by hearing the Word of God. Our faith is fed and formed by hearing the Word of God. Or we could say the voice of God. By hearing the voice of God. It would be accurate to say that. This is important for the message, because the message is that faith listens to God. And we can see it's founded on this scripture, Romans 10:17, but we're also going to see it in Abel's story this morning. And I want to say again that you cannot have faith in God apart from hearing the Word of God. You cannot live by faith apart from hearing the Word of God. You cannot exercise saving faith in Jesus Christ apart from hearing the Word of God. There's another truth that the Lord showed me about faith, and I was driving to Amarillo this week, and I was just meditating on this passage and this truth, and that faith listens to God, and the Lord gave me this: our faith is proved and improved by hearing the Word of God. Our faith is proved and it's improved by hearing the Word of God. We're going to see that in the story as well. And I just want to say to those of you going to camp, and those of you that are even here hearing the Word of God this morning, God's going to test your faith. God's going to speak to you this morning. If you have ears to hear and you're listening, He's going to speak to you about something. It may not be anything I say. It may not be the application I make from the passage, but God will speak. Now, how are you going to respond? How are you going to respond? See, the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, it proves, it tests your faith. Because we make a decision when God speaks. We either listen or we don't listen. We either believe, trust, and obey, or we don't trust and we disobey. That's the only decisions you can make. When you hear the Word of God this morning, do you have faith that He is who He is? That He does what He says He will do? Well, it's going to be demonstrated by how you respond to His voice. If you say, "No, God, I'm not going to do that," you're not exercising faith. You're not living by faith. But if you say, "Lord, I don't like it, I don't understand it, but I know You. You're trustworthy. I know that You are good. Can't understand what's going on and why, but I'm going to do it because I have faith in You. I have faith in You." So it will prove your hearing this morning is going to prove your faith. Or I could say disprove it. It's going to prove or disprove. But it also will improve. That is, if you respond in faith. If you respond to the voice of God today in trust and obedience, it's going to improve your faith. What do I mean by that? Your faith is going to grow. Your faith is going to become stronger. You know, when we say, "Lord, increase our faith," I mean, the disciples prayed that. I'll tell you how to increase your faith. Live by faith. Listen to God's voice. And remember, listen means to obey, to yield, to submit. Listen to the voice of God by faith and trust and obedience. And listen, what's going to happen is your faith's going to be improved. I know it's a long introduction, but I just want to share some of these things that give us an understanding of faith. That when he said in Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," I was meditating on that verse, and I was thinking, those who live by faith, they draw near. That's the opposite of drawing back. Drawing back is like you're turning away from God and you're leaving the presence of God. So draw near to me. So living by faith means that I'm listening to God and I'm drawing near to God, believing Jesus is who he said he is, believing that he will do what he said he would do. That's living by faith. Because faith believes what God has spoken and trusts what God has promised. I'm going to say that again. Faith believes what God has spoken and trusts what God has promised. But those that don't live by faith, Hebrews 10:38 tells us, and we're going to see this in our story this morning, in the life of Cain. We're going to see a person living by faith in Abel. We're going to see a person not living by faith in Cain. Cain drew back. Those who do not live by faith, they draw back, not believing Jesus is who he said he is, and will not do what he said he would do. Really, you think about it, those that don't live by faith are concluding Jesus is not so much better. That's what you're saying when you don't act in faith. Now let's consider how these two responses to hearing the word of God is demonstrated in the story of Abel. Let's look at Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Father, this morning we ask that you would bless your word as it goes forth today. I pray that you would give each and every one of us ears to hear your word, and not just to hear, but hearts to listen to your word because of who you are. That we would listen with humility and with reverence and with trust and with obedience. That we would respond to your voice today as you speak to us in faith. Because we know without faith it is impossible to please you. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So to look at Abel's story, we're going to have to go to Genesis 4. So I do want you to turn there. We're going to read some verses in Genesis 4 real quick and just kind of summarize Cain and Abel, because I think to understand our text, we have to look at the context. The context from which the writer of Hebrews is drawing this verse from. So in Genesis 4, we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bears brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. So there we have the story. I know it kind of continues on, but we're going to stop there. I want you to think about this story. We have two brothers living in the same household. They grew up in a believing family. They had the same parents. They're brought up the same way. They come to the same altar to worship God. We're told that Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. Both of these men, I want you to see, is that they brought offerings to the Lord. Both of these men believed God. Both of these men worshiped God. But we see that Cain, he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel, he brought an offering of the firstling of the flock, meaning the firstborn of his flock, probably lambs, and the fat thereof. That indicates that the blood of this lamb was shed and killed and offered up to the Lord as a sacrifice. And now this is where the surprise comes in the story. It says that God had respect to Abel's offering, but he had not respect for Cain's offering. As a result, Cain became very angry. His countenance fell. You know, I read something, a quote, and I want to share Cain's response. This is a quote to his response. And what we really feel towards God will be revealed when he doesn't give us what we want. Excuse me. What we really feel towards God will be revealed when he doesn't give us what we want. Have you been there? Or God gave you something you didn't want? It's going to bring out how you really feel about God. You see, this is another way God will test our faith. Cain, I just want to make a statement that Cain, he believed in God. And I'm sure he believed that God, all the good things, the fruit, the crops that God gave him, came from God's hand. But he did not have faith in God. I don't want you to be confused. He believed in God, but he didn't have faith in God. Because he didn't listen to what God said. He did not believe the voice of God. He did not trust what God had promised. And this comes out in the conversation the Lord had with Cain. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, I want you to understand, Cain, he heard the voice of God. He heard God himself speak. Cain was mad. He was angry. But God told him, thou Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance falling? If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? Let me just explain why God's saying, if you would obey me, if you would believe me, if you would act in obedience to what I've told you, it would be well with you. But if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. And I like the Hebrew describes this as, the Hebrew word is like an animal, like a lion, for example, waiting outside the door, ready to pounce. When we do not live by faith, when we hear God speak clearly to us, and we close our ears to God, and we're saying, well, I like my way better, I'm going to do my way, sin will destroy us. That sin of unbelief, that sin of not listening to God, it's like a lion that pounces on you. It's going to destroy your life. That's what he's telling Cain. He's warning Cain, listen, if you don't do good, if you don't live by faith, it's not going to turn out well for you. But when you read through this passage, every time that God speaks to Cain, if you continue reading on in this chapter, every time God speaks to him, it's almost as if Cain has a rebuttal against what God says. He has something to say against what the Lord says. But look at verse 16. This is where it all ends. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You know what that brings to mind? He drew back. God spoke to him. God talked to him. God said, listen. But Cain didn't listen. And he drew back. And he went out. Went away from the presence of the Lord. I want to say that every sin begins with drawing back from the voice of God. Every sin. Drawing back from the voice of God, from the presence of God. Every sin is when we choose not to believe God. We choose not to trust God. We choose not to have confidence in God. We choose not to hope in God. We choose not to listen to God. That's where sin begins. Every sin. For an unbeliever, for a believer. We're not talking just of unbelievers. I know that Cain represents an unbeliever. And we'll see that when we get to this next point. But this is the story we see, that Cain did not respond in faith. But according to Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Abel offered. Abel, he responded in faith to the voice of God. Cain did not. We'll develop this. So that's the story. Now let's look at Abel's sacrifice. Abel's sacrifice. As we go back to Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God, notice these words, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now there's a couple of things here. I want to just say that there are some people, you'll read in commentaries, you may even hear preachers say that it wasn't that Cain or Abel offered a blood sacrifice and Cain offered a bloodless sacrifice. They say it wasn't that it was Abel went by faith and Cain didn't. There is some truth to that, but that's not completely true either. Because it was a sacrifice. Because it says it. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. It doesn't say that God accepted Abel because of his excellent faith. He accepted him because of his excellent sacrifice. But why did he offer an excellent sacrifice? Because he heard the word of God and he obeyed the word of God by faith, offering the right sacrifice to come to God. So it's more than about the way the sacrifices were brought. It's that he brought a more excellent sacrifice. And you'll notice that it does not say that God accounted him righteous because of his faith. Now, don't misunderstand. Yeah, we are justified by faith. But I want you to listen to what the text says. God testifying of his gifts. He didn't say God testifying of his faith. God testifying of his gifts. What was his gifts? Well, it was this blood sacrifice. I know and believe with all my heart that it was the sacrifice that made the difference. And let me just turn your attention to chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 24. Hebrews 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Now listen to this next phrase that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It is about the blood. It is about the blood atonement. You can't come to God without blood atonement. It's impossible. You can't come to God with your works and turn away from the cross of Jesus. You can't ignore Jesus and say, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to bring all my good works to God and God's going to accept it. No, he's not. If you'll look in Jude, there's only one chapter, but Jude 11. It's just a few pages over, right before Revelation. It says, woe unto them. He's talking about these false teachers, these unbelievers, and woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Notice, in the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain. So he's making comparison that false teachers who reject the blood atonement of Christ, they reject Christ, they've gone in the way of Cain. You see, the way of Cain is this. God says, this is the way you come to me. And we know today it's through Jesus Christ, right? Every story in the Bible, I want you to understand this, every story in the Bible points to Jesus Christ, including this story. How does it point to Jesus? The sacrifice that he made, Abel made by faith, points to Jesus, the Lamb of God, that was crucified for us. That's what it points to. The Lamb of God. You know, when it says by faith Abel offered, because you may say, well, where did God tell them about this sacrifice? What kind of sacrifice? How did they know? Well, just go back to Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered. Now let's go back to the definition of faith. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's implied that he heard the word of God and he listened and he obeyed. I don't know, but I'm certain that Adam and Eve, they told their boys. You know, me and Mom, we used to live in this beautiful, beautiful garden. God would come down in the cool of every day and he would walk with us and we would talk to him. I mean, it was beautiful. But we sinned. We took of this fruit. And judgment came. But God in mercy, he clothed us with coats of skins. He shed the blood of animals for our sins. And you know, they would offer sacrifices to God, blood sacrifices. You know, without the shedding of blood, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin without shedding of blood. What I'm trying to say is that Cain and Abel knew what kind of offering to bring. God had revealed it to him. Abel believed in what God said. He knew himself to be a sinner. He trusted in the provision God had made. And by faith, he offered a blood sacrifice. But Cain did not believe what God said. He acknowledged God was, he's the good God. He's the author of all good gifts. And he was enjoying the harvest. But he did not believe. He was a sinner in need of blood sacrifice. He went in Cain's way, not God's way. The way of Cain. His way. I think that's a clear indication, Jude 11, a clear indication that when God spoke and Cain heard the voice of God, Cain didn't say, God, your way. I'm going to follow your way. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to obey you by faith. He responded Cain's way. I'm going to do it my way. So teens, when you hear the word of God this week at camp, the voice of God speaking to you, is it going to be your way or God's way? Are you going to say, God, I'm going to listen to you because Jesus is so much better. He's worthy. He is trustworthy. He is so much better than my way. He is Jehovah God. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. I'm going to do it His way. I'm going to listen. I'm going to have faith. You know, God may ask you to do something that's going to be very, very hard for you to do. You may be thinking, God, that's impossible. It is. Without faith. And even this morning, God may be speaking to the congregation about something, or you individually that are in this congregation, God is speaking to you about something. Are you going to listen to the voice of God? Are you going to, by faith, offer to God? A more excellent sacrifice? If you're saved, that sacrifice is yourself, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are you going to do that? Say, God, I'm yours. You're so much better. You know, as I said, every story in the Bible points us to Jesus, and Abraham or Abel's sacrifice here, it points to Christ, the Lamb of God. And you know, God demonstrates in the scriptures, we read in chapter 12, verse 24 of Hebrews, that Jesus is a more excellent sacrifice than Abel's. It's so much better than Abel's. Think about that one for just a minute. Jesus, he offered himself to God. A more excellent sacrifice. But he did it for you and I. He did it for you. So that you could come to God. So that you could receive eternal life. So that you can be forgiven. So that you can have a home in heaven. And all that by faith, listening to God, when he speaks in the scripture and says, all that come to me by faith will be saved. And I'm just paraphrasing, but that's just basically, you look at all the salvation texts and, you know, you come to Jesus, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you put faith in Christ, you repent and you turn to Christ. And all those scriptures, when we obey the gospel by faith, and remember, it's trust and obey, isn't it? There are a lot of places in the scripture that says obey the gospel. That's not works. Obeying the gospel means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what God says. Do you listen and believe? Do you trust that if I put my faith in Christ, he's going to save me? Because I want you to think about this. Can you see Jesus? Can you see God? Can you see forgiveness? Can you see heaven? Go to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see these things. But it's faith. Conviction in our hearts that yes, they're as true as if we could see them. When you have faith, through the eyes of faith you can see Jesus. Through the eyes of faith you can experience forgiveness. Through the eyes of faith you can see heaven as your home. It's your faith that gives substance to the things you hope for. Those of you that hope for heaven, I mean, I'm not talking about hope so, but you know and you have that expectation when you die, you're going to be with Jesus. Faith is what gives you that foundation of that hope. So let me ask you, do you believe what God has spoken about His Son? Do you trust what He has promised in His Son? Faith listens. Faith listens to God. Faith listens to the Word of God. And rest in the promises of God. That's what faith does. We are saved by faith. We listen to the Word of God. And we believe it. We trust it. We rest in it. We receive salvation. And it's all because of that sacrifice of Christ. That more excellent sacrifice. We come to our last point, and that's this. Abel's faith still speaks. So we looked at Abel's story, we've looked at Abel's sacrifice, but now we're going to look at Abel's faith still speaks. I like the last part of verse 4. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By it, it's talking about by his faith. By his faith, what is he doing? He's still speaking today. He's still speaking today. Because it says, yet speaketh. Yet could is meaning that still speaks. How many of you like Christian biographies? I see a few hands. Should be every hand out here. You know, when we've gone to these retreats with Brother David Bennett, he tells us three things that we should have at all times. A Bible. You need the Bible. You need to read and study and meditate and memorize. And you need a Bible. Second thing you need is a hymn book. And sacred poetry. A lot of hymns are poetry put into music. He said you need that to meditate on and to sing to God. The third thing he said, Christian biographies. Those are the three important things you need in your life. Be passionate for Christ. And I believe it's true. Now why? Why would he say that? Why would he say, I need to read this biography of Hudson Taylor that lived years and years ago, more than 100 years ago? Why do I need to read this biography of Jim Elliot that was martyred in Ecuador with his four co-laborers for preaching the gospel? I mean, he's not alive anymore. Why do I need to read about somebody that's dead? Why do I need to read about George Mueller? Why do I need to read about Amy Carmichael? Why do I need to read these biographies of these great Christians? Same reason we read Hebrews 11, this great cloud of witnesses who believed God, who walked by faith, and God testified of their faith, and their faith still speaks today. That's why we read them, because their faith still speaks to us. You can read the story of George Mueller's faith and his prayer life, and it'll speak to you today. It will challenge you in your prayer life. It will challenge you to believe God. You can look at Abel and read his story and it will speak to you today. If it didn't, I wouldn't even be preaching on him. And it wouldn't even be in the Bible. You can read about Enoch. You can read about Noah and Abraham. And you go through this passage and Moses and Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. And you just go through that list. Well, you're going to see there's men and women of faith and even children of faith that demonstrated Jesus is so much better. You're going to see a life of faith demonstrated. You're going to see people that listen to God because they had faith in God. But when you come back to this story of Cain and Abel, Cain tried to silence Abel's voice of faith. They went out into the field and it said they were speaking with one another. Now, I know I'm reading between the lines, but I can kind of visualize Abel talking to his brother. Because, you know, Abel, he believed God and he walked with God by faith. And I could see him saying, Cain, you know, my heart breaks because of where you are. You won't listen to God. If you just bring the sacrifice God requires, God will accept and regard you. But Cain, I can hear Cain saying, well, why do you think that you can tell me what to do? You must think that you are the voice of God. Abel, no, I'm just telling you what God said. Well, you're always trying to make it out that you're better than me. Abel said, no, that's not it, Cain. I just wish you would listen to what God said to us. But Cain wouldn't listen. And his anger increased. And as they were talking in the field, Cain killed his brother. He wanted to silence his voice. The voice of faith speaking to him. You should do good, do well by listening to God. Having faith in God. But he killed him. And listen. There are people in the world today that don't have faith in God. There are people in churches, maybe even in this church, that don't have faith in God. Young people, you're going to come back from camp and there are going to be friends that don't have faith in God. You'll be at camp, there are going to be people at camp that don't have faith in God. And as you exercise faith in God, here's what's going to happen. Those that don't have faith in God try to silence you. They'll mock you. They'll make you look like the fool. They'll make you look stupid. That's what they're going to do. You come back and you're on fire for God. I'm going to serve God. You tell your friends, I got saved. I surrendered to serve God. I'm going to walk with God. And they're going to laugh. Oh, you'll get over it. Before long, you'll be partying with me. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to silence your voice. But I think Cain's example should speak to us today. His example of faith that he stood for his faith. He died for his faith. Because he considered Jesus so much better. He believed God. He trusted God. If God wanted to allow him to die, then he believed that that was the best thing for his life. Because he believed that God was sovereign, that God was his Lord, that God was his King. We learn from this story that the voice of faith can never be silenced by the enemy of God. Can never be silenced. Isn't that encouraging? That if we live a life of faith, if we choose to follow Christ and we live a life of faith and we listen to God, when we die, our faith is still going to be speaking to our children, our grandchildren, to our church members and our community. How many times do we come here for a funeral and when a servant of the Lord passes away and we eulogize all over their life of faith and their testimony? And we remember their faith in God. Listen, God wants to speak through us while we're living, but He will also speak through us after we're long gone, if we live by faith. If you live by faith. Because Hebrews tells us, and by it, He being dead yet speaketh. And all across the centuries and millenniums since Abel, at least six millenniums ago, He is a witness to us that God is trustworthy to believe. So it's right to listen to God. It's right to follow God. It's right to obey God. You know, God was a rewarder of his faith. He obtained witness that he was righteous. He was made righteous by his faith. God testifying of his gifts. That's quite a reward to get. To be given the righteousness of God. Because we have none. There's none righteous, no, not one. But to be given the righteousness of God because we put our faith in Jesus. We trusted God's word. We trusted his promise. And we were given righteousness. That's a great reward. Well, I can think of other rewards God gives whenever we walk by faith. Our faith is improved. It grows. We get closer to God. As we walk by faith, we influence other lives. Other people come to faith in Christ. That's a pretty good reward. To see our family members saved, see our friends saved, to see our co-workers saved. That's pretty good. We were talking about in Connect, Brother Robert and Joseph, we were talking about the fullness of joy and, you know, John wanting those in 1 John, he wanted them to know Christ and to come into this fellowship with the Father and the Son. And he said, I write these things that you might have fullness of joy. But it wasn't just that they might have fullness of joy, but he would get joy too by them coming to Christ. There's no greater joy than that. Even in heaven, there's joy in the presence of the angels when a sinner repents and comes to God. There's joy in heaven. So, what's your response this morning? Because you can be like Cain and you can say, well, I believe in God. I'm here in church. I'm worshiping. I brought my Bible. I sang the songs this morning. But do you have faith? Have you believed on Christ for salvation? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? Because you can offer all your works. God will have no respect to you, to your gifts, your works you offer to Him, because you've come short. You're a sinner. The only thing that God will accept is the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of His Son, the Lamb of God. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So as we come to God by faith in Christ, He gives us a promise. And our faith believes that promise. It trusts that promise. It acts on that promise. When we truly believe Christ, we don't just say, well, I got my ticket to heaven. Now I'm going to go do what I want to do. You must not have had faith. If you have faith, I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect life. You're not going to have times where you may drift from the Lord. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a change. If you have faith, you're going to be saying, God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen. Because you're so much better. Your way is better than my way. Abel's story teaches us faith listens to the Word of God, to the voice of God. Do you have faith today? Are you listening to God's voice right now? Whether you're saved or unsaved, are you listening? God's speaking. Last night I was visiting with my dad, and he was, I don't know what brought it up, but we were talking about Brother Larry Venable's funeral and his testimony. And so my dad, he forgot all about it. He didn't make the funeral. So he was asking about if there was, his testimony was written down or if it was shared. I explained to him it was. And so then he went and shared his testimony. And when he was a young teenager and he was in a revival meeting, and God was just, the voice of God was speaking. I mean, God was speaking to him. He knew he needed salvation. He said he kept grabbing a hold of that bench and he wouldn't go forward. And they went through several nights. And then I think there was another revival that came through. And there was a preacher that was, he was also worked with the youth. And he said that all these other times that he made excuse, he thought, well, maybe the next night we come to revival, we'll be closer to the front, we'll be sitting on the end, so it'll be easy for me to go forward. All these excuses. But I want you to note that he was hearing the voice of God, and he was responding to it. At that point, he wasn't listening. But he said then when this other speaker came in, and they were sitting in the middle of the row, he said there were people all on both sides, and he said, but that night he couldn't wait any longer. He said, I've got to get saved. He said I must have just pushed through all those people. He said I even ran down there. He said, I just didn't waste no time getting down there. And Brother Bishop's wife, Miss Bishop, led him to the Lord. He trusted Christ as his Savior. What I'm saying is that there was a response to the voice of God. And today, he has joy and peace because of his faith in Christ. And not only that, but that faith has been passed on to me. My family, I mean, think about it, the rewards, if we just listen to God. There's no telling where, how far it will go if we listen to God this morning. So are you listening to God? What is he speaking to you? Is he telling you you're not saved and you need to get saved? Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to listen? Maybe he's speaking to you specifically as a Christian, some area of your life he wants you to make a decision about, to change your ways or change your habits or whatever. Are you going to listen? When you listen, you're exercising faith and you're saying, Jesus, so much better. Let's stand. Father, we humbly come before you today. We're so grateful that you pursue us and you seek us. Because as the scripture said, there's none that seeketh after God. The only ones that seek after you are those that you have drawn to yourself. Because we want our own way. We're stubborn. We're by nature sinners. By nature we're unbelieving. By nature we want our own way. By nature we're disobedient. We're poor at listening. We don't listen to our parents. We don't listen to the laws of the land. There's a lot of things we don't listen to just because of our nature, our sin nature. But when you speak, you give us the opportunity to exercise faith. Faith is formed in hearing the Word of God, as we learned in the Scripture, as we learned in Abel and Cain's life. When the Word of God went forth, Abel responded by faith and brought a more excellent sacrifice. And Cain did not respond by faith, but he decided to go his own way. And what drastic consequences we see in these two lives. One was declared righteous, one was declared unrighteous. One went to heaven, one went to hell. All because of the response to your voice. And so as you've spoken this morning in your word, through your messenger, through your Holy Spirit, we all have the responsibility to respond to your voice. What's it going to be? Are we going to respond in faith and listen and obey, trust and obey? Or are we going to draw back from you, draw back from Christ? As we see in the Scripture, you take no pleasure in those that draw back into perdition. But you are pleased when we come by faith, because without faith it's impossible to please you. So God, today I pray that you'd have your way in this invitation. I pray that each and every heart here today would respond in faith to your voice. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Curtis, you sing.